to speak a little bit about the science of self-realization for us.
Would you like a pen?
Yeah, sure.
Chanting mantras, and the word mantra means mana means mind, tra means more or less liberation. So the sounds will have the power to purify the mind and consequently to liberate the living being from the illusion of this material life. They are called mantras. Not all songs are mantras. Some of them are, because not all sounds liberate. Actually, most of the sounds, they have the power of keeping people in this material world. Actually, it's like water. If you put water into the land where there are weeds, the weeds grow. But mantras are different. Mantras cut out all the weeds and liberate the soul and make it conscious of the reality. So before, some mantras were chanted. The first one was to Shiva. In few names were mentioned, the names of Shiva. The word Shiva means who is very auspicious. Shiva takes care not only of destruction of the world, but also he has the task giving liberation to the most degraded type of people. So to do that, you have to be very powerful spiritually. Shiva is a divine personality who, being particularly powerful, he can give liberation to the most degraded type of person. Who are particularly degraded? Those who ignore the existence of God and live a life which is very low class, like, you know, I don't want to touch anyone's sensibility, but we have our vision and idea of what is a degraded or an elevated type of life. We'll talk a little bit in a few minutes about that. The second mantra was Narayana. The word Narayana means the personality who everyone should go back to. Nara means man. Ayana is the path. So those who want to go back to Godhead, then they have to go back towards the spiritual world. And the personality awaiting for them is Narayana. That's one another name of God. The third mantra, I noticed a few of Krishna's name. Those are names, personal names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shiva and Narayana are personalities of Godhead, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Means that Krishna, the Supreme Person, takes, assumes many personalities, and all of them are divine personalities. But between all of them, the Supreme is Krishna. And I heard the name Krishna and Govinda and Gopal and Vasudeva. Vasudeva comes from Vas, which means abode, and Deva means divine. So he who lives in the spiritual world, that is Vasudeva. Also is the person that everyone should live in, ideally, philosophically. Living in a spiritual consciousness means living in God. So Vasudeva is one of the names of God. Govinda. Govinda is a very personal, very private name. You have to know Krishna's history to understand what Govinda means. The most important names of all the names we mention is Krishna, because Krishna means someone who is very attractive. So can you imagine a person who is infinitely beautiful, intelligent, and rich, merciful, all the qualities that you appreciate, all the positive qualities, and you multiply these qualities to millions, trillions of times, ad infinitum actually, then this person must be very, very attractive, the most beautiful, the most intelligent, the most powerful, very attractive. So Krishna is the most attractive personality because he has got all the qualities that we desire, that we want. So since science of self-realization implies that the existence of a self, self means inside. If there is an inside, there must be an outside. That means the difference between that is external and that which is internal. What is external? This is external. This body. This is external. When we wake up in the morning and we look at our face in the mirror, we think, oh, I'm a man, I'm young, I'm old, I'm a woman, I'm European, I'm Indian, I'm American. And that's how we begin our day. We begin our day continuing the illusion or the wrong conception to be this body, this material body. This is a mistake. This is the original sin. This is what is called in the Christian philosophy, the original sin, the sin who provokes all the other sin. So the original sin, according to Vedic or Indian philosophy, is the identification with the body, thinking I am this one. And because we think to be a body, then we spend all our life trying to have a perfect life, satisfactory to the body. We try to be happy through the actions of the senses. This is totally wrong. Nobody in history has ever become happy. Nobody right now is happy. And if someone is actually happy leading a material life, means it's very foolish, because he doesn't know that it may finish any moment, any second. It may finish now, it may finish in 1 minute, in 1 day, 1 year, 10 years, whatever it is, it will arrive. Material life means beginning and end. And during in this segment of time, we try to be happy and we never really get it. So this is external. External means the body. Internal is the soul. When you drive a car, the driver is not outside the car. To drive it has to be inside the car. So the car is the body, and the driver is inside the car, and we are inside the body. Otherwise we cannot run it. We are the soul. We are not the body. The body is like a machine. The body is like a dress. The body has no life. Body is in totally without, are you saying that, inertia? It doesn't move. And it moves only because the soul is inside. Until the soul is inside, when the soul goes, the body falls down and it cannot move anymore. And a person who thinks that we are the body because the body moves and therefore the body is alive is a fool. Because it's like if a person says, this soul moves, you see? It moves. He doesn't know. It is so simple that it moves because I am moving it. Because there is something that is moving it. I go outside, I leave the soul, doesn't move anymore. But it's not that it doesn't move anymore. It wasn't moving even before. It was moving as a mechanical type of movement. And this body is the same thing. It is moving because there is a soul inside. When the soul goes away, death. But actually, death does not exist. Because the soul is eternal and the body never lived. Because it's a machine. You know, a machine never lives. It moves because there is a driver inside that makes it moving. When the driver leaves the car stops. So the soul is eternal, the body is temporary and never living. So spending an entire life, especially the human form of life, just for the satisfaction, attempting to be satisfied with the sensorial activity, this is a very, very wrong proposition, very wrong type of life. And we repent it when old age comes and everything, there is more behind than in front of us. Then we think, maybe I should have lived I should have done something different. Best type of life is a spiritual type of life. A life who gives benefit directly to the soul, not to the body. The body, we should give it just enough to stay healthy, to move, but not all the time for the body. It's a waste of time. And the Vaishnava tradition, which is the very ancient Indian tradition of thought, is a school that teaches how to live spiritually. And this very old tradition has gone down through the millenniums, through the modern days, and at the end, one very important, very great sage, Indian sage, came from India to the West, and he taught to us that we didn't know anything about real spiritual life. And this was the founder Acharya, the spiritual master Acharya of the Hare Krishna movement. And we are his disciples, and we continue his very beneficial work, trying to make people understanding the science of the soul. So this is basically what I wanted to say as an introduction, just to introduce the difference between the body, which is made of material elements, and the soul, which is made of spiritual elements. The difference between the two is that matter is temporary and illusory. The spirit is eternal and made of truth. So this is something I wanted to say. We can talk for days and weeks and months. This philosophy is quite large. It's vast. We had thousands of books of history and philosophy, very beautiful. And I personally wrote 14 books until now in my life. I have in mind the other 100. I hope that I will live enough to write them all. But just to give you an idea how big and qualitatively great this philosophy is. Anyway, now, if you have any questions.
it's more like a personality than a vision.
The spirit can only be person, can only be a person. Because, see.
You're saying there's a person, a personality. The
spirit is the person, and the person has a personality. Is that what you are answering?
Was so there? Is the personality the person or part of the spirit?
The spirit is how, for instance, this is made of iron.
Yes.
The soul is made of spirit. Spirit is the adjective, is the matter. Of the soul is made of, okay. Just like your chair is made of wood, this is made of iron, and the soul is made of spirit.
And spirit is energy, basically, right?
The energy, no, the spirit is a person, and it's made of spirit, and which is an energy. But behind energy is a person. There cannot be an energy without a person. Just like if you go outside and if you hear me speak, you don't think, oh, there is an energy speaking. No, you think there is a person who has an energy, a capacity of speech. And because it's a person, not only can speak, but also can think, can love, can hate, can feel, can do so many things. But only a person can do something. Energy is secondary. When you have a person, you have energies. Not only one, you have many energies. So, for instance, just I can give you hundreds of examples. This house is made of matter, and matter is energy. But who made it? It's not that there was another energy who built up this house. There was a person who built up this house. Why? Because if you analyze this creation, this house, you can see certain qualities, certain characteristics that can only belong to a person. Because an energy cannot think, for instance, doesn't have preferences. It's not that the energy likes something that doesn't like something else. An energy is just a mechanism. It's a person who prefers here to be a room and there a kitchen, because he prefers, because he thinks. And everything in the world, in this universe, speaks of a person. It's not casual. It's not that the sun rises when he wants, if he wants, he rises every day.
But the soul also has no preferences. I mean, the soul doesn't choose that I want this body, or you know, I want to stay within this body. Or
the soul chooses, and indirectly. For instance, a person can choose to be a thief or not. Then you are caught, you have been put in prison. It's not that you choose to be in prison, but you choose to do something that after gave you the reaction of being put in prison. So the soul does not want to stay in this material world. But he did something, the soul, that as a natural reaction got coming in the material world. The soul, at a certain point of his existence, choose not to be with God because he envied God or became jealous or God, whatever. This is a quite deep topic. You know, it would take time to discuss this. But at a certain point, since there is no action without the reaction, then whatever choice we made, it gave us as a reaction to come into this material world. So the soul can only desire spiritual things because it's made of spirit. Still, because the spirit soul is not perfect like God, then it makes mistakes. And the mistakes, as a result, it comes to the unnatural world. In natural means something that is not part of his nature. It's a different nature. So that's why we can never be happy in this world, because this world has a nature which is incompatible with the spiritual nature, because it's material.
I think to this point, when you ask person or personality, right, the way I would interpret it is, soul is a person, but then personality is the attribute of the person. For example, you have water, right? Water takes the form of an ice, or if it's actually liquid water.
Yeah, I said that.
It's cold versus... Yes,
the personality,
it's still water, if it's whether it's in the form of ice or...
The personality is the characteristic of the person. The personality is how a person becomes, how the person is. It may take many personalities. When you were young, you were a person, and during the years, then you changed personality. So the soul, according to the experience that it does in this world, may take different personalities. And when you leave this body, this human, this man body, then according to your state of consciousness, you may take another body, you know. And the subtle body of the spiritual soul will transform itself to fit into the new body. Then you take another personality. But this personality is material. There is another personality who are the characteristic of the spirit soul. That's a different thing. And then we arrive at a quite complex type of topic. The difference that the soul undergoes while he is in the material world and when he will be one day in the spiritual world. Thing is, there is a law called law of karma. The word karma comes from the Sanskrit root kri, which means to do. So karma means action, doing something. So I studied Sanskrit for some time in my life, and I always found that everything in Sanskrit may be called with different words. But I never found a word that you use the same word, two different words, to mean one thing only. In Sanskrit, action and its reaction are called karma. This is a philosophical implication, because there cannot be action without reaction, and there cannot be a reaction without a prior action. Action and reaction are bound one to the other. And now we do something and we have to know that there will be some reaction. If we have a reaction now, like for instance you have a problem in your life, you don't understand why you are suffering, or why I'm suffering so much, maybe God is bad, why, what did I do, why I engaged, I didn't do anything, I don't remember to have done anything. But we have to be sure that if you have a reaction, you must have done something. Maybe you don't know that the thing you did was bad, maybe you did it in a prior previous life or something like that, but if there is a reaction, there must be an action. So the science of karma, action is a science. Is a science. We had to know how to act in life to get good karma, to have a good karma. Because we act blindly, ignorantly, then we are going to get bad reactions in this life or the next lives, but we are going to suffer a lot. So we had to know what to do. And the science of karma is explained in huge books. They are called the Vedas. Vedas, the word Veda comes from the Sanskrit Vid. Vid means to know, so knowledge. Veda means knowledge. And almost more than a half of the Vedas deals with the karma. It teaches how to act in this life, to lead a happy life. And at the end, since we perform, we live the good life, we can also have the desire, the intelligent desire, to go back to God, to go in the spiritual world. Because if you lead a grossly material life, you don't even you don't have any desire for spiritual realization. But if you do a good life, then your heart is not pure, but it's cleaned. It's noble. Your thoughts are noble, are elevated, are high. Then at a certain point, and this is called goodness or sattvaguna. Sattvaguna means goodness, means light, means nobleness, means that you are an elevated type of person. This type of person can understand not only the science of leading a happy life, a good life, but also that even a good life, that's not our natural life. We have to get liberation from this world. And this type of person, a sattvaguna type of person, can have the desire and intelligence developed enough to understand transcendental realization. And that is one-fourth of the Vedas. One-fourth of the Vedas deals with liberation. That is called the Upanishad. The Upanishad are sections of the Vedas, most of, not all of them, but most of them are sections of the Vedas, and it deals with the soul, the spirit soul, and liberation. So first you observe, you live a life according to the Vedic injunctions. Then, when you are purified, then you can understand the philosophy of the Upanishad. Upanishad means, there are several translations of the Upanishad. Upa means down, and Anisha. Isha means the Lord. It's also another name of Krishna or Shiva. Anisha means the sense of not. An is a negation, they like to say no. Anisha means no. I am not the Lord. I am, He is God. I am not. So when someone has this type of understanding of himself, that I am not the Lord, I am not, I don't actually know, then one approaches as a bona fide spiritual master, and his upa means sits down and listens and put questions to understand the philosophy. And that's what the Upanishads are all about. Upanishad, 99% actually, I think all of them, it's a conversation between guru and disciple. Disciple puts question and the guru answers. That's how it works. From the Upanishad, then we have another level of spiritual understanding, which we are not going to talk now, maybe later. But, this is something I try to explain something about the personality and the Veda and the Upanishad. Any question? Do you have any question?
Only if you want to be here 10 years.
I can sleep here.
Yeah, I realize. Thank you.
Okay, then I'll be here for some time more.